WDK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A significant step in the search for answers in the plane-helicopter collision over the Potomac River. Here's ABC transportation correspondent Gio Benitez.
The black boxes from the American Airlines plane, transported in the same water they were pulled from to preserve the integrity of the recordings, now in the hands of the NTSB for evaluation. An early focus for the investigation, the flight path of the helicopter. Preliminary data showing it was flying at about 350 feet when it should have been under 200.
67 people were killed in that crash. 40 bodies found so far. Divers are returning to the river today. President Trump planned to slap those 25% tariffs on Mexico and Canada as soon as tomorrow. Canadian Premier Doug Ford vowing to counterpunch by pulling American alcohol off store shelves in Ontario. Hamas says it will release three more hostages tomorrow as a part of the Gaza ceasefire talks. Keith Siegel, an American-Israeli citizen, among them. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. With the tax season underway in Wisconsin, officials are reminding eligible residents that they can utilize the Internal Revenue Service's direct file system for free. Residents who have an income of under $200,000 per year and those claiming itemized deductions are eligible to use the direct file system. Officials say the process is fast and secure and are hoping all eligible residents receive the earned income tax credit. Wisconsin residents can confirm their eligibility for the free service at directfile.irs.com. The American Lung Association has released its State of Tobacco Control Report, and Wisconsin received mostly failing grades. Wisconsin received three Fs for access to cessation services, availability of flavored tobacco products, and tobacco prevention and cessation funding. The state also received a D in state tobacco taxes, but did receive a B grade for its smoke-free air laws. According to health data, tobacco is the number one cause of death in Wisconsin, with more than 7,800 people dying each year. A 21-year-old Duluth man has been charged in relation to a shooting near Tower Avenue in Superior earlier this month. According to court documents, 21-year-old Sadua Boyd was charged with aggravated battery, use of a dangerous weapon, as well as resisting and obstructing an officer. The alleged shooting occurred on January 16th at around 10 p.m. at an apartment complex near the intersection of Tower Avenue and North 37th Street. Authorities say Boyd and the victim knew each other, and they were able to locate Boyd shortly after the incident. The Salvation Army is looking to use tiny homes as transitional housing for the unhoused population in Barron County. Officials say the organization received a donation of two tiny homes ready for occupants, which sparked the idea to create a tiny home community. The organization had previously attempted to convert a former nursing home into transitional housing after purchasing the property in 2021. Long-term construction issues forced them to abandon that project. They now plan to use that land for the tiny homes. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers making changes on their coaching staff. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. ESPN reporting the Packers plan to hire DeMarcus Covington as their next defensive line coach. Covington was the Patriots' defensive coordinator last year. He was hired by Bill Belichick and was New England's defensive line coach when they won their most recent Super Bowl 5 years ago. But the Packers are losing linebackers coach Anthony Campanelli. After just 1 year in Green Bay, Campanelli is 42. He grew up in New Jersey playing linebacker at Rutgers.
I started out as a high school coach. I grew up around high school football, you know, my father and my brothers and everything. So that's really where my background is.
College basketball. The Badgers hope to bounce back after losing at Maryland. Wisconsin will be at Northwestern tomorrow. Tip-off time, 1 o'clock. Number 9th ranked Marquette at home in Milwaukee against UConn tomorrow night. Game time, 7 p.m. The Bucks road trip continues tonight in San Antonio against the Spurs. Damian Lillard named to the All-Star team. He'll be joining Giannis as a reserve. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Maybe not the record warmth we had yesterday, but still a nice winter day with sunny skies and a high of 38. For tonight, increasing clouds and lows near 20. On Saturday, a bit of light snow possible in the afternoon, otherwise cloudy skies and breezy with a high of 33. Right now, it's 26 degrees.
The 2025 Wisconsin football schedule is here, and you should be too. Season tickets are on sale now, so don't miss your chance to jump around at Camp Randall Stadium this fall. Last year, 6 of 7 home games were sellouts, proof that there's nothing like game day with the Badgers. Secure your spot for marquee matchups against Ohio State, Washington, and Iowa, and enjoy the best value to see Wisconsin football in action. For more information and to get your season tickets, visit ewbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News with Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning, we'll talk about the controversy over how test scores are rated in Wisconsin schools and connect the dots to neglect from the legislature.
Weekday morning starting at 6.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
Woke up this morning, I suddenly realized we're all in this together. I started smiling, 'cause you were smiling, and we're all in this together. I'm made of atoms, you're made of atoms, and we're all in this together. And long division just doesn't matter, 'cause we're all in this together.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. I mean, it's Friday. It's my co-host, Sandy Wim. Sandy, the music.
Well, I picked music that was, it was really a response to this whole question of pointing at DEI as the problem and immediately going the direction of divisiveness. So my music is all about the fact that some of it relates to people who try to divide us, and the rest of it is music about how it is that we can imagine that we're all together, you know, that we're all in this together. So that music was the most poignant example of it.
You know, we're going to, Sandy, we still got callers on the line, but I want you, and we're going to go to the callers, but I want you to address, Trump says tariffs on Canada and Mexico coming Saturday. Now, you know, I want you to get into, Sandy, this thing about Trump still saying tariffs, the overall impact of what that means and what can really happen. Let's get to the phones quickly. Mike from Kenosha, good morning to you, Mike. Thank you for hanging on. You say what?
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it. happy Friday, everybody. You know, I got to agree with Brandon. I have a big-time question is what in the world is that helicopter doing there? They are the highest trained group. It's almost inconceivable that this mid-air collision could happen. But, you know, again, I'll wait for all the facts to come out.
Yeah, that's what people should do, wait for the facts to come out.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. What a novel idea, huh? But no, you know, we have a typical response from today's Republican Party, blame and vilify. You know, don't let an opportunity go by to vilify the other team. You know, another sign of the war tactics that they're doing. But, you know, this air traffic shortage, it has been going on since Reagan fired them all.
Yes.
And we've been trying to play catch up now for over 40 years. So my question is, when we know that America flies more than ever, the need is substantial, the risk is you know, huge. You mean to tell me we can't train our own people? We can't find it within our own cities, our own, you know, the people that we can't fill these positions? Of course we can. The reason why we haven't is because the Republicans have been putting us under this austerity crap, again, since Reagan. They have interfered with trying to bring the air traffic controllers up to suitable
numbers.
Number and yeah, hours. Right. There was one guy. There was one person I heard this morning. CBS reported it. There is one air traffic controller that was on staff. What are you going to do when you have to go to the bathroom or something? It just doesn't make sense that we put ourselves into this position. But to finish the call is, you know, we talk about deep state. The deep state are the corporations and the think tanks and the elites that operate under dark money rules, which means there's none. So they can fund their little games. They can invest their billions of dollars. And not be tied to it. If we want our nation back, if we the people want to regain the power, we must take responsibility in making sure that we know who's playing around in the public's elections, who's funding these things, for us to not demand clarity and full, It just doesn't make sense. So I got to tell you, I've had it with these MAGA groups that continue to vilify and blame. And then when their guy comes up and embarrasses us as a nation to the world and starts talking this DEI stuff and trying to vilify a horrible, horrible, tragic event where people are shattered, their lives are just ruined. And because they've lost kids, they've lost family members. This guy has no business being in any office.
Hey, Mike, president, thank you very much for that call. I understand your passion. Let's go to CJ. Good morning to you, CJ. You say what?
Good morning, Harold and Sandy. It's going to be a very long 4 years for you gentlemen, including your previous caller.
What do you mean for us? Because if you think the way Donald Trump has been handling things thus far is going to be that way for the next 4 years, you're mistaken. But anyway, go ahead.
You don't want to hear me talk, Earl. That's why you talk over me all the time.
No. CJ, I'm giving you a chance. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, this is what leadership is called. His executive orders, you didn't have a problem with the 92 executive orders that just pertain
hey,
to
CJ,
illegal immigration.
CJ, we're talking about the airplane crash and the way Donald Trump handled it. No, that's what the subject is. Can you deal with that?
Yes. Pete Hegseth said DEI is dead in air traffic controlling, too.
CJ, as long as you've called in and volunteered to talk, so DEI and the accident that happened yesterday, do you believe that there is a relationship between them? Because both the president and Pete Hegseth, by the way they talked during their press conferences, suggested the possibility without any factual basis that DEI might have been somehow at the heart of whatever it is that happened. Do you think that there's any relationship between DEI and the accident yesterday?
I think there's a possibility.
A possibility.
Of course, there's a possibility that there's a possibility of, well, almost anything. But,
a possibility.
But, I mean, you know, the fact is that air traffic controllers are scarce. One of the reasons they're scarce is that maybe the working conditions under which they operate are not very tolerable. And so there's a burnout rate. People don't have a long career as air traffic controllers. Maybe the job isn't that desirable because of the working conditions under which they work. President Reagan broke the air traffic controllers union And so there is no union now that represents these people to try and make sure that their working conditions are more tolerable. Do you think there might be a relationship between the breaking of the air traffic controllers union and the shortage of air traffic controllers? And could that shortage have contributed to yesterday's accident? Is that possible?
It's possible. But
yeah,
you know,
there you go. It's just as possible and maybe more likely as the notion that a DEI policy, which incidentally was implemented in 2019 by President Trump's administration, was at the heart of it.
You don't want
the document that the document that he read from that related to the DEI policies that he was trying to decry was a document which was implemented under his administration. Did you know that?
We can't teach our kids to read, and we expect them to be air traffic controllers.
CJ.
Here we go.
Thank you very much for the call, man. How can we respond? Let's go to Tom from West Dallas. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, gentlemen. Really quick, I lost all respect for CJ a couple weeks ago, and he laughed about starving children. But, it was reported, I'm 98% sure it was just reported in The Atlantic, that Stephen Miller and Trump got together right after this happened to figure out how they're going to spin it. They got together with Fox News, and that's how this whole DEI thing came, because Stephen Miller said, this is how we're going to spin this. So, this is what I just heard reported on Midas Touch Network. I kind of believe them. They seem to be a lot more truthful than any of the other medias. And this is why I really wish that the Democrats would stand up and look at this and start yelling to the heavens with a big megaphone. This is what's going on. We're reporting this and take it as a fact. You know, we got to embarrass this guy at every chance we get.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, do you think he can be embarrassed?
Well, no, to be honest with you, I think that this is an example of hanging yourself when you're given enough rope. I think that his conduct yesterday, and presumably this kind of conduct will continue, will begin to reveal again to the American people who this person is and how they behave. And so I don't think it's necessary so much for us to decry it as it is for people to observe it. It's much the way people felt on January 7th, before the whole January 6th insurrection situation was respun. There was a great deal more unanimity in the country about what it is that had happened at that point. And I think what's going to happen now is that our observation of what's going on is going to be what really compels us to develop our opinions, not so much what I say or what you say or what other commentators say. It's going to be felt experience. And yesterday's felt experience was pretty god-awful.
855-752-4842. Guys, hang on the phone lines. Trump says tariffs on Canada and Mexico coming tomorrow. And he's deciding whether to tax their oil. 855-752-4842. It's Friday. That means Fridays with you and Sandy Williams on the Earl Ingram Show. We're all in this together. Yeah, we are all in this together. We're all in this together. We're all in this together. We're all in this together. We are all in this together. We're all in this together.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Give the star in your life the brightest gift in the world. Name a star after them. This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $59 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, you can name a star for birthdays, weddings, or even memorials. Over 45 years, we have named millions of stars for celebrities and individuals from around the world. The star you name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Visit starregistry.com or call 800-282-3333.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. On Monday, January 20th, Donald Trump returned to office, sworn in as the 47th President of the United States. Right out of the gate, he took a number of actions on his top issue, immigration. Perhaps the most troubling of these is one aiming to end birthright citizenship in America. An immigration attorney I talked to told me, "We're going to sit through a lot of BS over the course of the next weeks, months, and years, but this is the big one." My take? This action from the Trump administration is despicable, unconstitutional, and fundamentally anti-American. The day after the order was issued, Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call joined a coalition of 20 states challenging this action in court. This legal battle will be a tremendously important one for all of us to follow.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
"When the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out."
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Mr. Backlash, just who do you think I am? You raise my taxes, freeze my wages, and send my son to Vietnam. You give me second-class houses and second-class schools. Do you think that all colored folks are just second-class fools, Mr. Backlash? I'm gonna leave you with a backlash blue. When I try to find a job to earn a little cash, all you got to offer is your mean old white.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. It means Friday's my co-host, Sandy. We're going to send you the music.
Well, this one is about the backlash that might occur as the result of things like suggesting that DEI is at the heart of a plane crash without evidence, sort of trying to divide us up. And maybe racially, because DEI is basically thought of in terms of race and gender. I did want to correct one thing. A caller texted me. He's right that the FAA is currently unionized to the extent of 79% of its employees. But I was simply trying to point out to CJ that to try and come up with and to say that it's a possibility, there are plenty of possibilities. And I'm confident that one of the possibilities is that the FAA is understaffed, and two, that the working environment of the air traffic controllers is a very difficult one, and one in which it's difficult to both keep the workers there and to recruit new workers into.
Let's go to Mark from Cedarburg. Good morning to you, Mark. You say what?
Well, I would just like to first my prayers and condolences to the victims and families. That's awful. And I thought the president in his statement looked silly and looked weak, and it was an embarrassment. And I just hope that our country someday can get back to common sense government and common sense centered administrations. With that saying, the Air Force, I was in the Air Force, they are tremendous trainers of air traffic controllers. And my friend is one in O'Hare, and the stress level that he goes through, that's why he only has to work 4 days a week. Because he gets paid for six because of the stress level. They have to be on top of their game all the time. And I think that's where the problem is. The government's cheap on training, cheap. Thank God they're unionized because, you know, they want air traffic controllers. They don't want to pay them.
Hey, Mike, I'm in total agreement with you. I can't disagree with anything you said. Thank you very much for the call. Jeff from Green Bay. Good morning to you, Jeff. You say what? Jeff. All right, put him on hold. Let's go back to David from Mequon. David, go ahead quickly.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for the correction, Sandy. I appreciate that. The one thing I was going to say, though, and I agree with everybody that's with you, Earl, with Sandy, this has been going on for quite a long time, decades, as you mentioned. And so, yeah, there should be some accountability for everybody that's been previous, including Trump, who was president, obviously, for 4 years, along with Obama, Clinton, George Bush, Bush Sr., and so we can go down the pecking order, and unfortunately, I think we take things for granted that things are just running terrific until we have something like this, and it exposes the vulnerabilities in our system. And I will mention in July 24th, Reuters article, the FAA and unions agreed on new terms for like resting the air traffic controllers because. To your point, Sandy, they were working some super, super long hours, and they rectified that somewhat this past summer in trying to get that hashed out. That being said, that does not cure. I guess the FAA did hire over 1,800 new air traffic controllers. That was their goal, was to do 1,800. Well, they were just a hair over that number. But
without trying to solve the air traffic, excuse me a minute, Dave, without trying to solve the air traffic controller problem, I was trying to identify the situation with air traffic controllers as a symptom of the danger of attacking government. Because, you know, the government is our operating infrastructure. It operates our infrastructure. It also is there for as our group funding mechanism to do the things that we have decided we need to do for ourselves to protect ourselves, to make ourselves safe, et cetera. And so my concern is that taking on government generally and to talk only about deficits and the notion that we have to get rid of government because it's a debt-creating machine filled with people who are bureaucrats shuffling papers and whose jobs are unimportant and can therefore be cut with a meat axe and a hatchet has dangers. And one of the dangers is that when terrible fires occur, how competent will we be in our response? When FEMA is necessary, how competent will it be? Donald Trump's answer to that now is maybe I'll get rid of FEMA and hand this problem to the states. So, you know, I'm just concerned about us rectifying the national approach towards our approach to government per se. And getting rid of the notion that we should attack government as the problem.
So, Sandy, right away, Donald Trump blamed it on air traffic controllers. Let me say this. 16 years, Sandy, since there's been a major crash. The amount of flights that happen every day in this nation, and 16 years have gone by since there's been a major crash. Those odds, Sandy, are pretty good. To say that the air traffic control situation is terminal, I think, you know, should there be some changes? Sandy, you're a frequent flyer. Man, look at all of the flights that are going on, and well, this happens, and we say, oh, it's horrible.
Well, flying is many, many times safer than driving a car, many times safer statistically. But like I said, I think the most important part of this is not focusing on air traffic controllers and air safety, but it's focusing on government functions and the importance that government employees can have for us and the dangers associated with simply attacking government willy-nilly without a process and without a government, a business sense of how you do this effectively.
All right, 855-752-4842. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. It's Friday. It means Friday's my co-host, Sandy Williams.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Brian Hagedorn says he will not participate in the pending case regarding the constitutionality of Act 10. Justice Hagedorn drafted the law himself when operating as chief legal counsel for former Governor Scott Walker and said the law demands that he recuse himself from the case. State Republicans have also called on Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz to recuse herself after calling Act 10 unconstitutional during her campaign. If both recuse themselves, the court would have a 3-2 liberal majority. A pair of state Republicans have introduced a bill that would limit what flags are allowed to be flown at government buildings. State Representative David Steffen and State Senator Eric Wimberg introduced the legislation, which would only allow the U.S. flag, state flag, POW/MIA flag, and the official flags of the armed forces to be flown at the sites. If local municipalities wanted to fly another flag, it would require a 3/4 vote from elected officials. Critics say the proposal is meant to target the Pride flag or Black Lives Matter flag. A Clear Lake man is facing up to 6 years in prison after being accused of leading authorities on a high-speed chase in Barron County. According to court documents, 49-year-old Christopher Cool was charged with attempting to flee an officer and possession of methamphetamine. He's accused of leading authorities on a 19-mile-long chase at speeds of 85 miles per hour after a deputy recognized him while searching for another wanted man. Cool allegedly consumed methamphetamine during the chase and later told officers he was on meth. A former school in Superior could soon become an affordable housing complex. City officials are pursuing a plan to convert the former Lake Superior Elementary School into an affordable housing complex featuring 50 units. The move comes less than a year after the school was permanently closed due to budget constraints. The Redevelopment Authority has committed $300,000 in grant funding for the project, and the city's Affordable Housing Fund has committed another $500,000 in development loans for it. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Well, the murder weapon was never recovered and there were no eyewitnesses, but most people still think OJ did it, including OJ. According to Simpson's doctor, Simpson took the truth to his grave. Why is there yet another docuseries about this horribly tragic true crime story? Because obviously people can't get enough of it. American Manhunt, OJ Simpson, is a new 4-part docuseries featuring interviews with police, lawyers who were on the case, Simpson's agent, and Ron Goldman's sister, Kim. American Manhunt is available on Netflix. Speaking of Netflix, as we often do, when launching a new talk show, it's important to somehow make it unique and give it an identity separate from other talk shows. Comedian John Mulaney will host a talker on the streamer that has been the home to many of his stand-up comedy specials. Not many details have been released, and that is on purpose, according to Mulaney, who says this was the perfect match because he never wanted to do a talk show, and Netflix was getting out of the talk show game. I'm officially curious. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Maybe not the record warmth we had yesterday, but still a nice winter day with sunny skies and a high of 38. For tonight, increasing clouds and lows near 20. On Saturday, a bit of light snow possible in the afternoon, otherwise cloudy skies and breezy with a high of 33. Currently, it's 27.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Open that conversation with this person that you disagree with so much by trying to find the shared value, the thing that you both actually agree about. Challenge yourself to keep bringing it back to the value that we agree on and maybe even the outcome that we wish to see. Go have the tough conversation because you know what gets better with practice? Those tough conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Dom Selvia.
Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Brian Hagedorn recuses from the Act 10 case. Also, Wisconsin GOP lawmakers seek to require public schools to display In God We Trust. Will that stop school shootings?
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You know, outstanding music this morning, Sandy. Good morning to you. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. Sandy, the music.
Well, it's about not letting ourselves be divided. Some of it's about people who try to divide us, and the other is not letting that happen. And it really was precipitated by the whole discussion yesterday of a knee-jerk blaming of DEI for the air disaster we had.
All right, let's go right back to the phone lines. Cassandra from Middleton. Good morning to you, Cassandra. Your thoughts on the way Donald Trump reacted yesterday?
Well, disappointed. And I have to say that, well, I've already shared with you my thoughts on the dishonorable Secretary of Defense. You know, I joined the show late. Earl, did you or Sandy talk about the radar detection communication system? Did you all discuss that?
No, we didn't. And so let me say this to you, Cassandra, before we get into all those things. We're putting the cart before the horse on all of these things. There are multiple investigations going on. Nobody knows yet what it was. There are people who point at the air traffic controllers. There are people who are pointing at all sorts of things. But they should be given a chance to, you know, and find out and do the investigation. And shouldn't we wait to find out what they know before we do what Donald Trump did and go off half-cocked? And, you know, now there are people blaming the air traffic controllers. We don't know what it was. But anyway, go ahead, Cassandra.
Yes, no, the reason why I bring up the communication systems is because, and Pete Hegseth, he would know this, and you know, this is a lack of ethics on his part. One reason why this happened is because, well, a couple of reasons. Number one, those airways are too congested. Number two, the radar detection communication systems, they are different for both the military and commercial flights. And the female pilot, they have a recording, and she was asked, do you see the aircraft? She saw an aircraft, and she said yes, but it was not the aircraft that she crashed into. So the other problem is that area above the Potomac, you have the military transporting dignitaries to save them travel time when they go home for their visits. These are senators, congressmen, and their selective staff members. What our dishonorable Secretary of Defense should do, he should either mandate the military open up their radar communication system for that hub in D.C., so they are efficiently speaking to each other about the aircraft in the area because there's a blind spot. Or what he should do is ask Trump to put out an executive order that congressmen and senators and their staff cannot use the military helicopters to as a shortcut to fly home and visit their district.
So
there's just too much traffic.
So Cassandra, I don't disagree with any of those things. Maybe all of this was inevitable with the sheer amount of traffic that flies through there. But for 16 years, there hadn't been a problem. This is why I'm saying we should wait to find out what took place, before all these changes are made. Do there need to be changes? Yes. But shouldn't we wait to find out what happened so we'll know which area to fix first as opposed to all these things at once?
Well, and I come back to the notion that this is an example of an important function of government, and the government is filled with many, many important functions. And the whole DOGE approach to trying to eliminate across the board a huge number of employees as if all of them are unimportant and as if all of their jobs will be easy to refill and as if experience and competence is not a part of what it is that our many government employees do is fatuous. But unfortunately, it's been politicized to the point where many people in the public believe that. And so, maybe this is an example of something that ought to persuade people that government is far more complicated and complex than we've been giving it credit for being, and that it isn't something for any fool to do.
Cassandra, you last response. Go ahead.
I am just furious at the media that they are not covering this properly. There's just too much traffic over that area, and we just need to confront our elected leaders and our dignitaries and tell them that that space, that travel space, will be available for individuals who are clearly needed. So that's all I wanted to share.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Cassandra. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning, Tom. You say what?
Well, I sure hope that people like Cassandra and others are starting to regret their votes that they made for Donald Trump. What I'd like to ask Sandy, I agree with you. First off, we, the people, are the government. And that means that all of these people that work for the government are just average United States citizens. They work in air traffic control. They work in all of the different departments that the Republicans want to dismantle and mainly make it so we have an oligarchy and a dictatorship. My question to you, Sandy, is why don't we as Democrats just start having a shadow government and talk about each day, get on civic media each day, our politicians and all these people, because I don't think Democrats use progressive media very well, but get on these shows and talk about what you're saying. Talk about the fact that the FAA is a governmental body. Talk about how the Department of Defense is a governmental body. And talk about government being good, but actually have a shadow government and talk about what it is you can do to make people's lives better rather than picking up, just falling into Donald Trump's trap of, playing 11-year-old games.
Well, shadow government is not your idea or a novel idea. The fact is that in England and many parliamentary countries, the parties that are out of power will create a shadow government and they will on a daily basis respond to what it is the incumbent government is doing to discuss what it is they would be doing as an alternative if they were in fact the government in power. And that's why the politicians in, for instance, England, who tend to get elected to be prime minister, have a great deal of experience because they have operated in a shadow government context for a long period of time and have taken this kind of very affirmative role. So I don't disagree with you. I think that having a knowledgeable and an active opposition in place all of the time is a good idea. And it doesn't necessarily just involve sound bites and the kind of stuff that we do in America, which is backbiting and name calling, but actually a shadow government process.
Well, it's pretty clear, Sandy. That's what the Republicans have been doing. That's why they were able to come into this running.
Well, they didn't have a shadow government. I mean, they had Project 2025. They did a bunch of thinking on the side. But I would say that most of what they were doing from on an activity basis during the Biden period was making it more difficult for Joe Biden to govern, number one, and number two, to create soundbite kinds of branding issues that would put into people's minds a particular vantage point about things without necessarily being knowledgeable. So, you know,
that
the shadow government could create a great deal of education for the American public, that kind of a process. So I think Tom's right. I think we need to get our politics cleaned up to the point where it doesn't treat the American people like they're a bunch of dummies and actually asks them to think about the issues and to understand the issues.
So let me ask you then, Sandy, because part of what was the continued postmortem after the Democrats' loss was that they were not able to convince many Tom, Dick, and Mary and speak to them about the issues that impacted and affected them. And so that was part of the reason that they lost, right?
Well, it definitely was. I mean, branding involves giving knowledge to people, or at least, you know, giving them a vantage point and a viewpoint on things. And whereas the Republican Party was busily branding the Democrats, just like they branded the deep state, how they've branded government, how they've branded government workers, they were busy branding the Democrats and the incumbents in a manner that the incumbents were not good at dispelling. And my point today, and the reason I keep emphasizing this bit about government and the image of government, is that today is a circumstance in which people who want to emphasize the importance of good government, competent government, capable government that delivers the programs that the American people want and need. We have that example yesterday, a horrible plane crash, which exhibits the very important function of our governmental employees, many of them. And it isn't just air traffic employers. It's food inspectors. It's all kinds of people that are protecting our waterways, protecting the safety of what we drink, the protecting the safety of our air. It's, you know, government was created by us as a group funding mechanism to deliver to us the things we have decided we need. And we need to make sure it does that well.
You know, Sandy.
And it won't do it well if what we allow is people to simply attack it in the manner of Doge and describe the fact that they're going to save trillions of dollars by cutting out all kinds of functions, impounding money that was authorized by our Congress to spend on our programs because someone in the White House or someone somewhere who has the White House ear has decided that they don't like that program.
So here's the part of it I didn't understand. So as a person who receives Social Security and Medicare, I know that that doesn't happen in a vacuum. I know that there are people all along the line that make that happen to make sure that this gets to me, something that I need that benefits me on a daily basis. I'm the average American. How is it possible that Republicans were able to skew that and somehow the people who receive those things don't see it the way I saw it? I know I don't get these things that don't fall down out of the sky. There's government remittance all along the way in order for me to get those things.
Well, yeah, I mean, the government is performing functions. It is our infrastructure, and we ought to make sure that it performs it well, but we ought not to eliminate it, or we ought not to experiment with it and disrupt it. You know, those are things that could make it be extremely troublesome. You don't want to experiment with air traffic controllers. You don't want to disrupt air traffic controllers.
All right, 855-752-4842. We'll be right back.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Last April, federal cybersecurity agency CISA issued warnings to election officials on how to combat a Russian online scheme to mislead American voters in the 2024 election. CISA is now under attack by its own administration. The Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency Act was signed by President Donald Trump in 2018, with part of its mission to protect election systems. It played a vital role in hardening state and local computer systems prior to the 2024 election, supporting state election officials, and monitoring hacking and disinformation campaigns perpetrated by Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea. After the 2020 election, it refuted Trump's false claims that the 2020 election was manipulated. Trump fired its director, and CISA was targeted by Project 2025 for a dramatic overhaul, with some conservatives calling for the agency's elimination. Just before inauguration, President Biden issued an executive order requiring new CISA cybersecurity standards be implemented, but Trump immediately revoked it January 20th. CISA's highly qualified director, Jen Easterly, resigned on Inauguration Day. New Secretary of Homeland Security, Kristi Noem, said in her confirmation hearing, CISA had strayed from its mission by monitoring disinformation. As governor of South Dakota, she refused federal funding to harden cyber systems, calling it wasteful spending. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Donald Trump did not campaign on stopping Meals on Wheels to homebound seniors. He did not tell you he was going to cut road safety projects or state-based homeland security initiatives. But that was always the plan. And while a judge late yesterday hit the pause button, it has been a busy 18 hours as people and agencies and businesses took in that gut punch.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
One and only Joe Crocker. You know, Sandy, I always referred to him as the voice. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. Text us that same number. It's my co-host, Sandy Williams. Let's go to Brendan quickly from New Jersey. Brendan, go ahead.
Yeah, I just had three quick points. First, Sandy, great music, although I probably would have chosen Welcome to the Machine with Pink Floyd. If you want to see a really good movie about air traffic control, it's a movie from 1999 called Pushing 10 with Billy Thornton.
Yep.
It's a great movie because those are O'Hare traffic controllers. Now you think about O'Hare. O'Hare will have parallel runways running in on approach. DC will only run traffic on approach generally as a rule 90% of the time either on runway 1 or runway 19 coming either north or south. So it's not a real hard thing to figure out. And the third point I want to say is, you know what? I agree with CJ. Hey, CJ, maybe if the Republicans stop stealing money from the public education system every year and slowly sapping the amount of money kids are getting to learn, they would know how to read. So I agree with you there.
Hey, Brendan.
But, you know, and this could be a date to mark on the calendar. But, hey, great show, you guys. And
hey, Brendan, thank you very much for the call. So, Sandy, quickly, Donald Trump is making these overtures, and Republicans will say, he's negotiating. He's a great negotiator. That's what he's doing.
You're talking about tariffs.
Yes.
Well, first of all, these across-the-board tariffs, if implemented, are exceedingly dangerous. It's experimenting with an economy that's currently doing well, but it's experimenting in a way that could definitely tip it in the direction of stagflation. Larry Summers, an economist who CJ likes to quote when it's convenient, was one of the authors of a recent letter describing how it is that tariffs are most likely in every manner to be a failed policy. And that, number one, using them, if you're only using them for negotiation, then it's not going to be a source of great revenue. So this whole notion that you can cut taxes because you're going to get a bunch of revenue from tariffs is disingenuous. But if you are going to implement tariffs for the purpose of deriving revenue, then you're going to have a very, very negative effect on the economy. You're going to have across-the-board inflation. You're going to have a shrinking GDP growth rate. You're going to have a world recession. You're going to create an environment that will be very hard to solve. You know, stagflation was very hard to solve. You can't pour money into the economy to solve for stagflation. And it'll be very hard to pour money into the economy anyway because of the lack of discipline in Washington for the last 25 years with respect to deficits, such that our debt service has become quite burdensome. So it's going to be much harder to use this tool. And cutting taxes today, further reducing revenue, further increasing deficits, will only make it much harder to use the tool in the future of solving for the recession, which is very likely to occur with across-the-board tariffs.
You know, Sandy, it always sounds good, right? I mean, it's Trump throws these things out, and so what does he think? He thinks that Canada and Mexico are going to capitulate. They're going to cower. And they're going to do, you know.
Well, apparently he wants to bring them to the negotiating table to renegotiate the treaty that he executed in his administration. And now he wants them to break the treaty. It's not expiring today. He wants them to reopen the negotiation and to renegotiate with him. Well, it's hard to negotiate with someone who keeps breaking the deal, right? Why would you cut the next deal if all you're doing is negotiating against yourself? And so, you know, yeah. And they probably will negotiate some changes to the deal. It does expire in a year or a year and a half and is up for renegotiation. So there probably will be some changes made to it. But I'm not sure that it was necessary to impose across-the-board tariffs in order to accomplish that outcome.
So what does it do, Sandy, to relationships when you bring a guy in with a hammer and all he sees is the hammer, and all of these decades that we built relationships, is that the way to handle things, Sandy, on a business?
Well, he thinks that America First can be this impersonalized process of every country, each person for themselves, getting what it is they can for themselves. But it leads to, for instance, his notion of empire, which is dividing up the world, apparently, letting the United States have the Western Hemisphere, a la President Monroe, let's take Greenland, let's take the Panama Canal. Let's sort of rename this whole hemisphere as the United States of America. You know, that's not going to bode well in the process of a complex world.
Hey, Sandy, I hate that the time left so early. We had a lot to talk about. Really appreciate it, man. Thanks for the music. See you on Tuesday. Thank you, everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Calvin, for another great week. Up next, Jane Madnair. Madnair on Air. See you guys on Monday.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, John Dietrich joins us, Journal Sentinel investigative reporter, with his latest piece on gun violence in Wisconsin. It's important. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. The Maggie Dawn Show.
There are solutions to the rot in the Supreme Court, and it's a congressional binding code of ethics. There are solutions to the corruption. It's a constitutional amendment to declare that money isn't speech and corporations aren't people, and we can do this. These are things that Americans agree on no matter our party. We all know that presidents aren't kings.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Police boats are back in the Potomac River, part of the recovery and investigation into the mid-air collision of the Army helicopter and passenger jet that left 67 people dead this week. One focus of the investigation, the work of air traffic controllers at Reagan National Airport and whether enough people are on the job. Here's ABC News aviation consultant John Nance.
We've had a chronic problem with this for as long as I can remember, probably 30 or 40 years. We've always been behind on staffing in the FAA control facilities and air traffic control, and they really that should come to a halt. These folks are wonderful people. They are basically expected to do 100% perfect performance all the time. And, of course, as humans, we can't do that, but they come very close. But they need more support. They need more numbers.
Conspiracy theories about vaccines, secret meetings with dictators, and enemies list. Those topics all brought up during confirmation hearings for three of President Trump's cabinet nominees, Robert Kennedy, Cash Patel, and Tulsi Gabbard. This is ABC News.